Pijana bala ba girivaradari Pijana bala ba girivaradari Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Topi Jana Valabha Girivarada Pijana Vala Ba Girivaradari Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Kishore Kishore Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jaya Baladev Jaya Jaya Subhadra Nitai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Nitai Gaura Hari Bo. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Vishnupadaya Parahamsa Parivyagacharya Satara Sarasri Srimati Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Hom Vishnupadaya Parahamsa Parivyagacharya Satara Sarasri Srimati Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj Ki Jai All glories to the assembly of devotees All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to the assembly of devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10, Chapter 10, entitled Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees, verses 24 and 25. Should I read the Sanskrit for 24 as well? Rishir Bhagavata Mukhyasya Satyam Kartum Vacho Harihi Jagama Sankhaish Tatra Yatrastam Yamal Arjunao Rishir Bhagavata Mukhyasya Satyam Kartum Vacho Harihi Jagama Sankhaish Tatra Yatrastam Yamal Arjunao Rishir Bhagavata Mukhyasya Satyam Kartum Vacho Harihi Jagama Sankhaish Tatra Yatrastam Yamal Arjunao. Go to the 25th verse real quick. Devarshir me priyatma Yadi maudanandatma jau Tatata satyaishyami Yad gitam tan mahatmana Devarshir me priyatamo Yadi maudanandatma jau Tatata sadyaishyami Yad gitam tan mahatmana One more time. Devarshir me priyatamo Yadi maudanatmatma jau Tatata sadyaishyami Yad gitam tam mahatmanam. Anyone would like to chant? Devarshir me priyatamo Yadi maudanatma jau Tatata sadyaishyami Yad gitam tan matmana Evarshi me priyatamo Imaudanatma jau Tatata sadyaishyami Varshir me priyatamo Yadi maudanatma jau Atata sadyaishyami Yad gitam tan mahatmana Devarshir me priyatamo Yadi maudanatma jau Tatata sadyaishyami Yad gitam tan mahatmana
Anyone else? Or? No.
Thank you very much for chanting with me. We'll go to a word by word translation. Verse 25. Devarshihi. The great saint Devarshi Narada. Me. My. Priyatamaha. Most beloved devotee. Yat. Although, Imao, these two persons, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, Danada Atmajao, born of a rich father and being non-devotees. Tat, the words of Devarsi. Tata, just so. Satya Ishyami, I shall execute. Because he wanted me to come face to face with the Yamala Arjuna, I shall do so. Yad Gitam, as already stated, Tat, that Mahatmana, by Narada Muni. Translation. Although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvera, and I have nothing to do with them, the Varishi Narada is my very dear and affectionate devotee. And therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I must do so for their deliverance. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Nalakuvera and Manigriva actually had nothing to do with devotional service or seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, for this is not an ordinary opportunity. It is not that because one is very rich or learned or was born in an aristocratic family, one will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. This is impossible. But in this case, because Narada Muni desired that Nalakuvara and Manigriva see Vasudeva face to face, the Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted to fulfill the words of his very dear devotee Narada Muni. If one seeks the favor of the devotee instead of directly asking favors from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is very easily successful. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore recommended Vaishnava Thakura Tamara Kukura Gulia Janahamore Krishna Setamara Krishna Ditepara. One should desire to become like a dog and strictly following a devotee. Krishna is in the hand of a devotee. Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau. Thus, without the favor of a devotee, one cannot directly approach Krishna. What to speak of engaging in his loving service? Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payeche Keba. Unless one becomes a servant of a pure devotee, one cannot be delivered from the material conditions of life. In our Gaudiya Vaishnava society, following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami, our first business is to seek shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, Adau Guru Ashraya. Thank you very much for coming, and thank you for letting me speak again. There's a very nice verse that mentions quite a few important items that I thought I would briefly mention and elaborate on particularly one of them. So the four items that I notice both in the verse, the 25th verse, and in the poor part of Srila Prabhupada, are that the nature of Lord Krishna is to fulfill the words or promises of his devotees. And another item is that the non-devotees have practically no access to regaining the service of Lord Krishna. They have no access to this mercy other than through the Lord's devotees. In that way, it is said many times in the scriptures that devotees are more merciful than the Lord. And third of all, Srila Prabhupada recommends in the purport that our priority is to seek, though I should not directly try to approach the Lord or gain his favor, but one should seek the favor of Lord Krishna's devotee. This is the right order, the right process. And finally, Srila Prabhupada stresses at the end of the purport that one must seek the shelter of an authorized spiritual master. So, like I said, in today's class I'd like to briefly discuss the first three items and elaborate more on the fourth item, which is the principle of seeking and accepting a spiritual master. The first point, and Lord Krishna fulfills the words or promises of his devotees. I think it is related to at our practice level of bhakti yoga. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Devotion, I think on page 3, right in the beginning, that there are four. Four things that happen when you start chanting and serving the Lord. One of them is the immediate relief from material miseries. Another one is all auspiciousness, all good energy, mercy is spread, you know, to the other human beings and even plants and trees. Everything is benefited. So all auspiciousness, and then the devotee enjoys on the spiritual platform. There is enjoyment. Ananda, and then the fourth item is the ability to attract Lord Krishna's protection. Protection and love. So we can see that by serving the Lord and chanting the Maha Mantra, it is possible to attract the Lord's protection and love. Also, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 12, verse 20, at the very end, the last verse, very nice verse. The chapter is entitled Devotional Service. The last verse of the chapter, I'll just read the English. Those who follow this imperishable path of bhakti yoga, devotional service, who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, very, very, very dear to me. And the Sanskrit word used is ativa me priyaha, ativa me priyaha, very, very dear. So for me, it's just like a theory, like theoretical knowledge, that how can, you know, how can I, you know, attract, you know, Krishna like that? How can we do that? And for me, it's all theory, so it's hard for me to go beyond that, that God can become a devotee's servant. Once again, the verse, the 25th verse says, Krishna says, because Narada Muni wanted me to come face to face with those Yamala Arjuna trees, I must do so for their deliverance. So Krishna is like very I'm obligated to do that. Sounds like it. And I thought of a good example that could help me understand this very special philosophical point that actually the servant of God becomes the servant of his servant. I was thinking of a family situation. Some of you may have the experience of being in a grihastha ashram. Some of you may not, but you may be you may use this example maybe to explain to others this concept of God becomes the servant of his servant, carries out his orders like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna became the charioteer of Arjuna, and whatever Arjuna wanted, then Krishna would drive the chariot. So I have a family situation. I just wanted to give you a little situation from my family life, or in general. I just thought of it, help us understand better. So ideally, husband and wife love each other. When they go sometimes outside, socialize, and spend time with friends who are not close family members, just friends, colleagues, from work, so socializing. So sometimes, there's conversations, not necessarily everything spiritual conversations, but that's the way it goes sometimes. We're obligated to go out and meet with friends for different reasons. So sometimes there are conversations, and sometimes the wife will say something of importance that the rest of the participants or the rest of the people may doubt or question, or they may seek the fulfillment of those words. So the husband will immediately, if there's doubt or question by those who are not family members, they're like friends, and then wife says something and someone questions it, the husband will immediately give support to the wife and back up her words, just to make sure that to uphold the truth of her words, and so they come to fulfillment. So the husband may formally be the boss, of the family, but actually he's very eager to support his wife when a situation like that arises. So I thought it would be a good example to maybe illustrate how a pure devotee and Krishna work, maybe work along similar lines. Now forgive me for this imperfect example. Items 2 and 3 that are covered in this verse and the purport of Srila Prabhupada, items 2 and 3 are that non-devotees have no access to Lord's mercy and the Lord's devotional service other than through the intervention of God's pure devotees, not directly. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, also at the very end, where Krishna says that one cannot see God despite his different qualifications. It says, I'll just read the English, verse 53 and 54. The form you are seeing now with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing severe austerities, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am. And the next verse continues, my dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you, and thus can be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. I thought, trying to think of an example to also illustrate this exclusivity, maybe we can use this example when we present our philosophy to others. Maybe, maybe not. But try to imagine. I'll use an example from like the Western work world. You know, let's say imagine that you know many people see a good job, good placement somewhere in the society. So let's say there's like a hot job that only the best can fill, and so even with technical skill and you know and proper qualifications, there's so much competition that it's still very very difficult to get that job, and you may have to go through not only you know basic application approval, but you might need to go through at least a couple interviews, you know, a phone interview, and there's another interview with the main boss, all these steps, and the chances are small that you're gonna get that spot. But if you happen to have a friend who works in the main office and who knows the owner of the firm or the owner of the business, things may get much easier. If they mention your name, you know, and I know this gentleman, you know, whatever he puts on the application, but he's a good gentleman, so, you know, I vouch for him, then it is much easier to get that job, and the big boss will probably like you even before he sees your face. He says, okay, that's no problem. I'll make sure I give him a good chance to get this job, you know, consider him hired pretty much, though. So, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, he uses the words easily successful. One becomes easily successful when one serves the Krishna's servant, Krishna's pure devotee. He doesn't use words like as opposed to you have to work very, very hard to become successful in devotional service and in seeing Krishna, serving Krishna directly. One can become easily successful. So this is very encouraging for us, and we can use it when we present our process to others. Maybe this could be one of the examples we can use. I think some devotees already used this example during their presentations about, you know, a very hard job and the possibility of getting that job. So in this way, the devotees of the Lord, the pure devotees of the Lord, are more merciful than the Lord because they can bring many non-devotees or those who have qualifications but then they're not really devotees. He can give them special mercy and they can make a tremendous progress on the path of devotional service right from the start. Unless you know someone like that, there's a very slight chance you'll be able to beat the competition and get the job despite your qualifications. So hope you understand this example, and hopefully it's useful. We're moving on to the main item, which I'd like to discuss a little bit more of a detail. And the item is one must seek guru for spiritual life and for approaching God. And there is a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita once again. Chapter 4. Tadvithi pranipatana pranipashana sevaya upadekshanti teganam gainastatva darshinaha. The English: just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So this is a very important verse in our process. Your spiritual life practically starts when you start to inquire and take shelter of a spiritual master. So I'd like to use this verse to elaborate on this fourth point. So under this principle of seeking guru and approaching God through guru or spiritual master, there are four sub points. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport to verse 34 of Bhagavad Gita that the path of devotional service, the path of spiritual realization, he says, is undoubtedly difficult. Why? Because one has to overcome. And I think Srila Prabhupada, it could be also a general statement in any spiritual process, but if you want to approach God directly, it's especially true. So the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. And why? Because one has to overcome, one has to overcome material desires, desires of the material senses. At a deeper level, one has to overcome one's false ego, which is more subtle and harder to catch. So that's one sub point. And also, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that by independent study of books, by one's own effort, one cannot make progress in spiritual life. We may think so, but it's really not possible. And I was under the same impression at one point in my life that yes, I can study some books, study the Bible, study this and that, and I'll become self-realized like that. But it didn't work out, and I was inspired over the years to seek shelter of a spiritual master. And so the problem with this independent study of books and doing it by one's own effort is that one of the four defects of a human being is that we tend to speculate and we make mistakes, both with our material senses and also with our subtle senses, with our intellect. We come to wrong conclusions, make wrong assumptions, and we come up with our own concocted ideas of spirituality. So that's the problem. And then the end result is not very satisfactory. And down the road, we realize, oh, it didn't work out for me. Maybe I should read different books, or maybe I should just stop reading books and maybe seek shelter of someone who has realized some of the spiritual knowledge. I want to give you an example. So, in other words, we're not getting any genuine experience by reading books. Books on religion, books on scriptures. We may not. Most people will not. So I'd like to give you an example. A funny example. I watched one movie with my son over the weekend. The movie was called Karate Kid, the original one. And I haven't watched it in probably 30 years. So I said, it's got some good... I worry about my son, so I want him to appreciate the value of the relationship between teacher and student, the strong bond and relationship, and the value of building character. So I thought it would be a good idea to watch the original movie. I think it was made in 1984 or something. I watched it like 1989, and 30 years later, here I'm watching it again with my son. Time flies. The main character, he was trying to learn karate from books, and he had this book open, like I have this Bhagavad Gita open, and he was flipping through the pages and standing in front of the mirror and throwing different kicks, and he was trying to master the kicks like that, and different techniques, blocks. So the actual master, obviously the main character, didn't realize the person who was in front of him was the karate master. But the master was walking by and says, "Oh, son, you are trying to learn karate from books, huh?" And the student was really excited. "Yes, yes, it works. It's great, you know." And he was like showing him, "Oh, here's how I do it, you know. Here's how I throw this kick." And the master looked him in the eye, and he smiled and says, "Yes, yes, keep going." Weeks later, the main character's karate didn't work out. He was put to the test. He got beat up at school, and he was really frustrated, that his karate was not really what he was cracked up to be. So, needless to say, the master told him, "I can teach you karate. If you obey, take a vow, you obey my my instructions, and you work with me, I will teach you a real karate." And then later on, when he learned the karate from the master, he actually after 2 months he was ready to go. And he was able to defeat his opponents, whatever problems he had. Pretty interesting. So that was a funny example there. Moving on, the third point of this fourth main point of seeking spiritual master and approaching God. The first one, that the path of spiritual life is difficult, and that by independent study one cannot realize spiritual truths. And the third sub point is that the verse says one must submissively render service unto the spiritual master, submissively. And Srila Prabhupada mentions the purport, this is the proper combination: submission, and listening to the orders, and inquiry. Continuing with this Karate Kid example, the master requested the student to do all kinds of seemingly, all kinds of tasks and jobs that were seemingly unrelated to the art of karate. And he was like having him like paint the fence, paint the cars, you know, he was painting and his shoulder hurt. And all these, and the boy was getting discouraged and he was getting frustrated. Why am I doing this? Day and night I'm doing the same thing, and you know, I'm not, you know, I got another month till the tournament, karate tournament, and I didn't learn a thing. I'm just had my shoulders sore and everything. And so he couldn't understand the importance of these services and these movements. But he had faith in the teacher. He had faith in the teacher, so he, despite his fatigue, physical and mental fatigue, he kept going with the service. And then the rest is history. The movement that he was performing while painting were actually karate movements that he could use in a tournament, a karate tournament. As a side note, I didn't catch that 30 years ago, but the main character actually sings a short Hare Krishna. In the movies, I was pleasantly surprised. My son and I, we had a good time. Oh, wow, they're singing Hare Krishna. Movie, Mesna, it's not too bad, you know. I mean, we're watching, you know, it's a Hare Krishna movie. You know? So that was pretty neat. And the fourth sub-point of this main principle of accepting spiritual master and seeking his shelter is that... it says in the last verse that the master can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. They have seen it. They have felt it. They're feeling it. So it carries more value than any theoretical knowledge. Someone who has a mature experience of the process is necessary to give it to another person so they also become... understand it and able to effectively apply it in life and feel the mercy, the benefit. Otherwise, you could become an expert in anything just by reading books, independent study, but that's not how it works, even in material endeavors. It's good to go to school and go take shelter of someone who already has the PhD, or, you know, they already been teaching for years, and then you get that stamp and you're certified, or you got your degree because you went to a prestigious school or you know, at least state-approved school. So that's how it works. I'll give you another example, a personal example. Years ago, I was searching for a deep spiritual path. I was searching for something that process that could help me control my weaknesses and serve God better. And I was searching and searching, and in the process of searching, I was taking different classes at college. I was taking psychology and philosophy and theology, and trying to memorize different theories, different views on life. And I was taking tests, and I was getting some A's and B's, but I was getting more and more confused, despite the fact that I could understand the theories. But there are so many opposing theories. And finally, this one class, Religions of the World, I remember, that I was taking, it became so confusing, especially when you get to the part on Hinduism. I could not understand a thing. It seemed like, because I was raised a Roman Catholic, so fed in one God, believe in one God, monotheistic faith. So when I got to Hinduism, I was like, oh my gosh, they have more gods than the Greek mythology has. And there's all these. And then the teacher was very eloquent, and he was very technical, and he was a good speaker, and he gave us nice flow charts and diagrams, like, okay, this God gave birth to this God, and this God was married to this, and this God is in charge of this. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's too many. How am I going to pass this test? You know, it was very. It's kind of. It was a challenge for my mind, but my spirit was not happy. So luckily enough, the teacher, the PhD teacher, he invited the actual practitioners of different faiths. So Hare Krishna devotees came as representatives of a traditional Hindu process, you know, Vaishnavism, Vedic process. So they came, and my future spiritual master came with two assistants, and when they explained everything on board, and you know, wrote the Hare Krishna mantra on the board, and I asked some questions, and everything was so clear, and I was like, whoa, is that so simple? And I was like amazed. And then obviously they had some books, and I grabbed the Bhagavad Gita, and I was really happy to even do some project. We were supposed to do some project for school, and we were supposed to go to Christians were supposed to go to some Eastern, you know, mosque or temple, and those who were from the East, they were supposed to go to a church or synagogue. And we're supposed to do a project, so I was excited, like, hey, you know, I'll go to the Hare Krishna temple. I don't mind it so far, you know. I'll just drive out there and see what I can learn, and maybe write a good paper, get a good grade on this test. And so it was really easy for me to understand when the teacher, the actual practitioner of the process, explained it to me. But I could not understand that thing when I was reading this book on Hinduism, and the chapter, and the teacher was trying hard and gave me this charge, and it's like, okay, you know, trying to explain, but I was just getting more and more information in my head, but there was no comprehension, like, you know, you just have to be forcefully memorized. So that was pretty interesting, I think. Also, the Karate Kid movie, the master, the actual karate master was he was a Japanese soldier who used karate in the field. You know, he was retired from the army, so he was actually he had the genuine experience of what it is to use karate in real life. So that's why he was able to teach practical techniques, and he was able to guide that student properly. And one of the things I remember, he said that I will teach you karate not for the tournament. I'll teach you karate for life. Karate is not in your muscles. Karate is in your heart. So that was pretty neat, I think. In conclusion, I'd like to say that everything good that happens, anything really good that happens spiritually in our lives, happens by the mercy of the devotees, of Krishna's pure devotees. And that way they are more merciful than the Lord Himself. And for the people of Kali Yuga who are non-devotees, the mercy of Krishna's devotees is the only chance. We are preaching movement, we want to share this knowledge, we cannot count on people reaching out to us, hey, do you have any spiritual books on hand? Do you have any Bhagavad Gitas? You cannot count on that. People are very busy, very, very busy with material engagements, projects. I can see that work when people come to me. They don't even have time to work out. They like, oh my gosh, you know, I have to be here, I have to be there, I have to do this. I slept 4 hours only. I gotta keep going, I got this appointment, that appointment. They don't have time to ask you for spiritual items. You have to reach out to them, otherwise they don't have a chance. And sometimes you have to be a little bit forceful, a little bit tricky, you know. That's how it works, it's Kali Yuga. And this way we make it our prime duty to share this knowledge with those who are less fortunate than us, and they don't have this spiritual gift of spiritual culture that Srila Prabhupada has given us as a gesture of thank you to Srila Prabhupada. We want to share this at any cost with others, and then we become happier and happier, and there will be more and more devotees around us. And so let's reach out to others and help them understand and appreciate this great, great movement, this great gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Make our Jagat Guru, our Srila Prabhupada, really happy. Thank you for your attention. Hare Krishna. If you have any questions, please ask.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Wow. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your class. It was wonderful from two points of view, modern point of view, when you use the Karate Kid and Krishna. Some of the examples, which I really appreciate. And
sure.
I would argue that Prabhupada kind of encourages that time, place, and circumstances mentality, especially for newcomers. Because in the first canto, chapter 4, verse 1 of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada actually says that one should follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. However, one should present Krishna consciousness in an interesting way, he said, so it would be more digestible for people. And I know when I first came to Krishna consciousness, when I heard so many examples from South India, North India, Sri Ramanuja, I'm like, who? I kind of blanked out. But as soon as you hear the Karate Kid, you're like, oh, okay, let me listen up. And I feel, especially for newcomers too, that's a really effective method, and I appreciate that. And since you mentioned karate, I already mentioned this quote to you. One of my favorite quotes says, martial arts isn't about getting a black belt. It's about being one. Be courteous, show respect, and inspire. And so my comment and question is related to, you were mentioning that sometimes we're all in Grihastha Ashram. You were also mentioning to serve, one can easily make advancement by serving pure devotees. And so you kind of reminded me of one of my favorite verses in the Bhagavatam, one of my all-time favorite. It essentially says that everyone is married. It doesn't matter whether you're a brahmachari or a sannyasi, everyone is married, and it explains how. This is verses from the fifth canto, chapter 1, verse 17. It says, even if a person is a monk who travels from forest to forest, he must always fear material bondage because he is married to six co-wives, the mind and five senses.
Wow, wow.
It says, on the other hand, even if a person is a householder, if he's divorced from Maya, then he's always self-satisfied. And we see that in the pastime Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj. Durvasa Muni, he was a monk, but he was married to Maya, married to his false ego, married to envy. It says in that pastime that he was envious of Ambarish Maharaj, because Ambarish Maharaj was accepted as great spiritual personality more than him. On the other side of the coin, even though Ambarish was married, he was divorced from Maya. So the lesson I got from this pastime that it may be easy to break up with our girlfriend or divorce our wife, but it's not so easy to divorce Maya, even by accepting the dress of a renunciate. And I'd like to mention one pastime before I get to my main point, is that Prabhupada also verifies this point in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. The chapter is called Unifying ISKCON. I forgot the subtitle of the chapter, but if you look at the chapter in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, the chapter is called Unifying ISKCON. And basically, there was a debate between the sannyasis and householders. The sannyasis criticized the householders as not being very advanced. They shouldn't accept leadership positions because they're householders. And so Prabhupada disagreed with this understanding. He would quote many verses. And finally, Prabhupada thought he had the whole situation settled. Then one sannyasi, he kept on being very critical of the householders. And finally, Prabhupada had to humble them. So this sannyasi essentially said, he quoted a pastime of how householders are inferior, basically. And Prabhupada humbled them. He says, just because no one wanted to marry you, you say that nobody should get married. And all the devotees started to laugh. And so I really appreciate this, because there's so many pastimes where we hear the pure devotee. In this pastime, Narada Muni, he's accepted as a pure devotee. And the Lord wanted to maintain his promise. So sometimes when we have the notion that we're pure devotees, we say Krishna is on my side, either because of our celibacy or even if we're householders, I know I'm more pure than this person. So Krishna is on my side. He maintains my promise. And so, and that goes on all the time. I mean, I'm sure we all had the mentality, I'm more pure than this person. Krishna's on my side. He's going to take my side against this devotee's side. They're less pure. So what is a person to do who has this type of mentality? How can we purify mentality? And what are some steps we can move forward to gain a realization that Krishna is on everyone's side, but we may not always be on Krishna's side? And how can we determine whether we're truly on Krishna's side? And not that Krishna's on my side, like we're the controllers of Krishna because of our celibacy, which there's so many cases that say it's not true. So.
Yeah.
Elaborate on that.
It's a very good question, Prabhu. Now, it may be hard to answer, but I can give you my thoughts on it. Being in a family situation, I encountered a situation because someone says, listen, you're doing this, so Krishna must be on your side. Do it your way. But sometimes I say, I'm questioned, so I say, I'm chanting 16 rounds and so obviously my way is going to be better, or we should go with my way. But it's not always fair to say it. It's basically Krishna is, like you said, on everyone's side. And the bottom line is Krishna wants all of us to be happy on the spiritual plane. One thing that we all have to learn when we encounter these situations that we have to realize is that we have to try to do when we encounter this situation is that we can always, it doesn't matter how many rounds you chant, if you initiate or not, but if you're trying to be a devotee and trying to serve, or someone is doing more, you say, oh, they initiate and this and that, it's not like a rule that, oh, you know what, you're doing more service and you've been in Krishna consciousness for 20 years, that means you know, and it's going to go beer. So it's not always a rule. I tested it, and I sometimes say, we'll do it your way. We'll do it your way. Let's see what happens. And actually the situation works out in such a way that both of us are happy, So even though you may have more experience externally, I've been in the movement for this many years, and it's actually good sometimes to go with the idea of someone who is externally less experienced. And then Krishna is so smart and tricky that he will resolve the situation in such a way that both persons are happy and they learn. So this is my experience in many situations that, you know, actually Krishna is on both of our sides, you know. He's not favoring, although at this particular time, this situation, it looks like this is a better approach and better move, but whatever you do, Krishna will redirect things in such a way that it's still gonna work out in the family's benefit or whatever, you know. So just realizing that that Krishna knows best, you know, he's got the most experience, and he can direct the situation in certain ways, even though you may be, according to your idea, you may be going in opposite direction, you may not be agreeing, your mind is like rebelling, why am I doing this, why am I agreeing to this, it should be my way, but even though you're going in opposite direction, you're going to end up at the goal. That's how Krishna works, you know. If you are humble, maintain this mood of humility and respecting another person for who they are Krishna's servants. They are serving Krishna. Like Lord Ramachandra, I'm sure you know this example. He appreciated every little service. You know, the monkeys and Hanuman were lifting heavy blocks, but the little spider was there, and the spider was doing its own work, and it was externally much, by material calculation, it was much less work, but Lord Ramachandra was satisfied as much with the spider's work as he was with the Hanuman's work, you know. That's what I got from that pastime. Maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like it. So yeah, the strategy or the amount of service or the amount of it, you know, service chronological, duration of your service, it's irrelevant to Krishna. He looks deep within and he benefits all of the both sides, you know. If we have the right, especially if we have the right mood of appreciating Krishna's intelligence, and we have the right mood of appreciating another person, being humble. Any situation you encounter, if you stay humble, you understand how Krishna is working. I hope maybe it gives some ideas.
Thank you, Prabhu. That was the perfect answer, actually.
I think so.
And the reason is that you were stating some of the, I just want to share this with you, maybe you could write it down, I don't remember the exact verses, but you could read these pastimes, sure, to verify some of your answers. If you read the chapter King Rahugana in Jatabartha pastime, there's that only appears in like two chapters of the fifth canto of Bhagavatam.
Fifth canto, yeah.
In that chapter, King Rahugana says the same thing that you did.
Oh, really?
He was criticizing Jatabartha for being inferior personality. So in one particular verse, he apologizes to, or he glorifies the externally inferior persons and say they might be more knowledgeable than me. It doesn't matter how long I've been. He says, I offer my obeisances to children, to avadutas, to brahmanas, to anyone, poor people, because they may have the proper blood type to save my life. And also one other pastime, if you read in the last two chapters of the first canto, it says Shukadeva Goswami, he gave Bhagavatam, he was 16 years old, but he was more, by Krishna's mercy, by Krishna's arrangement, he was more knowledgeable than all the sages present.
Wow, yeah.
And Prabhupada elaborates on it in one of his reports, so I don't remember what verse, but check the last two chapters. So there's a nice quote by Buddha. He says, a man is not called an elder merely because his head is gray. His age may be ripe, but he is called old in vain. He in whom there is truth, virtue, love, restraint, he who is free from impurity and is wise, he is called an elder. And Prahlad was an elder, and Hiranyakashipu was older. And so But last point, the reason I appreciate about the sages at Nami Sharanya, and when they appreciated Shukadeva Goswami, they were all great personalities, because neither was Shukadeva proud, I'm a prodigy, I'm superior to you, and neither was the sages envious. Why did they ask him to give Bhagavatam? I've been in Krishna consciousness, you know, for the last 2,000 years. He's only 16 years old. And so that's the lesson I took from this pastime, is that it doesn't matter, even if you're in an inferior position, as long as you're not envious of someone,
right.
Then you're just as advanced in Krishna consciousness. And so there was neither pride from Shukadeva Goswami, nor there was envious. So then the Bhagavatam was actually beneficial for everyone. So anyway, wow. I wanted to share those points.
Well, that makes me inspired to go back to these cantos and study more, because I miss studying Srimad Bhagavatam more. It's nice, so nice. Every answer is in there. We may not remember, but the answers are there. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for your points. Any other questions? Any questions? Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindhubhyasavachya patidam pavanabhyavaishnavivinamanamana.